Hey everybody, this is Tom Salemi of Device Talks. Welcome back to the Device Talks Weekly Podcast. We're only 5 days away or so from Device Talks Boston. It's taking place on Wednesday, May 1st. I'm recording this late on Friday. We're still busy ironing out all the details, but the agenda looks great. The numbers are great. We've already beaten last year's numbers, and I know we're going to blow past it considerably thanks to all of you. This is a unique opportunity on a lot of different levels, and I really do hope if you haven't yet registered, you do. If you are interested in surgical robotics, if you're interested in cutting-edge technologies in pulse field ablation, in IVF, in new materials, in neuromaterials, in new neural interfaces, in sustainability, in startups, I don't know, we've got it all. It's going to be just a jam-packed couple of days. We'll have presentations by Stryker, Medtronic, Intuitive. We'll have an interview I'm doing with CRM. I start the whole thing with a great sit down with Beth McCombs of BD. She's Chief Technology Officer. So I don't know. We're going to have podcast recordings on the floor. We're going to have our live Device Talks Weekly podcast. The Device Talks Weekly you receive next week will be recorded live on stage at the very end of the conference. We hope you'll join us for that. So I don't know what else to tell you. I can share a little secret. In addition to the companies, the robot surgical robotics companies we've been talking about, which include Intuitive in Distal Motion and CRM and Stryker and Quantum, and of course Medtronic is going to be giving our joint keynote address to close things out. We're also going to have an appearance by Mira, the robot built by Virtual Incision. This is not Space Mira, which went to space. This is a copy, or rather a version of the Earth-based Mira, which is a very cool surgical robotics. It'll be at Maxon's booth on the floor. So come down and check out Mira. It's going to be I don't know. I'm really excited. I can't wait to get there. It's a lot of work. I'm a bit tired, but can't wait to have you see all that we have been working on. So with that, we've got a podcast dedicated exclusively to the conference. I'll open up. Paul Grand and I, of course, will sort of catch up on where MedTech Innovator is. We'll have a great venture panel for you at 1:30 on May 2nd. Get to see Mike Carusi of Lightstone. I haven't seen him in a long time. And we'll have Dan Sheehan from Medtronic and others as well on that panel. In addition to that, we'll have Holly Scott's CEO transition panel following that. So the Innovation Forum is jam-packed and ready to go. Our other tracks, we've added an additional track this year, so we'll even have more content going on. There's over 120, probably 130 speakers by now. And it's going to be insanely fun. And if you're on the fence, get off the fence and come down to the Boston Convention Exhibition Center. We'll have our Women in MedTech Networking Breakfast, which is unfortunately sold out. It sold out quickly in a week. We added more space, and that sold out as well. So we'll be doing this again next year, and we'll do it on a larger scale. So much enthusiasm and optimism coming up. And again, join us on April 30th. That's when we're having our opening reception. It is a take me out to the ball game sort of theme. So we're encouraging people to wear their favorite team's hat, cap, shirts, whatever you want to bring. And we'll have obviously some food and some games associated with that as well. So it's a great way to start on April 30th from 5 to 7. And then, of course, the show starts on May 1st at 9 o'clock. I'll be opening it up with Paul Grand. We'll have a presentation by HSBC, sort of giving us an overall view of the numbers. And then I get to interview Beth McCombs of BD. So, and then we're off to the races. So thank you to everyone who has been part of this planning process. Thanks to all the speakers who are coming out. Thanks to all their colleagues who have helped schedule things. And thanks, of course, to everyone who has registered. As I said, we've already got a bigger event than we did last year, and last year was pretty big. And we've still got several days for registrations. So don't miss out. Please join us. You can still use the code DTWeekly25 to save 25%. Jeff Karp, who was on the podcast last week, will be there, of course, as well. And if you want to qualify for his free book, Lit, use the code LIT25 to save 25% off the price of registration. And you'll also be eligible for a free book. He's going to choose a handful of folks to get free books, and that could be you. So Jeff will be at the opening reception, talking one-on-one. It won't be an address, but more just an opportunity to talk with really one of MedTech's greatest innovators. There's my Boston accent, innovators. So please, I got nothing else to say. Please join us at Device Talks Boston, once again, May 1st and 2nd, otherwise known as Wednesday and Thursday, at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. Now we will get this podcast started. After I talk with Paul, we will hear from three of our speakers from Device Talks Boston. These are folks that I spoke with while I was visiting the Mullings Group Studios, 160 Studios in Boston. So I'll hop in and introduce each of them as they're ready to play. So thanks again, folks, for listening to this episode of the Device Talks Weekly Podcast. And I really do hope you'll join us at Device Talks Boston. Let's get this podcast started. All right, you ready for this?
Ready.
Paul Grand, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Tom Salemi. Great to be here, as always.
It's hard to believe, Paul. Only a few days away from Device Talks Boston.
How can that be? We just had Device Talks Boston 2023, like last week, it feels like. I don't know how this happens.
I don't know, man. I don't know. And it feels like, I don't know if they're getting harder, but there's more to them. You folks have gone nuts on the innovation side of things with MedTech Innovator. And nuts in a good way, I should say, with the great companies you have and the investors we've got lined up and the panels and things like that. So once again, thank you for all the work that MedTech Innovator does to help us out with Device Talks Boston. It's a real treat to work with you and your team.
We love doing it. It's a phenomenal event. It's a great opportunity to get together a lot of our companies, to get together investors, and then all those other people. I mean, you've got such a huge number of attendees coming to Device Talks now that it's just a great, you know, kind of mecca for people who want a little bit of everything, whether you want to learn about, you know, the developing technologies, you want to see robotics, you want to, you know, meet with product people or, you know, or kind of anything along the way. It's all there. So we love going.
It really is. When you start with a blank agenda slate, as you know, it can be a little terrifying, but as you start to find elements and start to fill out the canvas, it really gets exciting when you get closer and closer. So yeah, we'll have great surgical robotics talks, innovative technologies like IVF and pulse field ablation. But I really, again, happy to have the MedTech Innovator folks there. We gave you the big room because you guys you could not be contained by a 150 person track room. You needed more and more space. And I won't make the goldfish reference again because it confused a lot of people on our last podcast. I thought it made sense, but you did indeed grow into this large 500 person room that we gave you. So well done.
Well, thank you. And yeah, we had last year was the first time we did this investor forum for graduates of MedTech Innovator. For those of you who weren't there or haven't heard of this before, usually MedTech Innovator features only the companies that are in a particular cohort for, you know, for that year. And we do that at AdvaMed's annual meeting and the Wilson Sonsini annual conference and others. But for the first time last year, we did this investor forum at Device Talks for graduates of MedTech Innovator. And people have been asking us for that for a very long time, because those companies are the ones that are further along in many cases, you know, or they're moving along. They've raised more capital, they've made more progress. And like everybody, they need to raise more funding to achieve those milestones. And we weren't previously like featuring them in a particular venue. So now we've aligned with you, and this is the second year doing it. Last year, you're right, was standing room only. And that was amazing. I mean, literally, I was on the stage trying to pull people into seats. And at a certain point, you know, when you're like, oh, row three has one seat, and at a certain point, there was no more, there was literally no more seats. And then people were out in the hallway and, you know, outside of the room, like peeking in through the door over people's heads. And I was like, this is crazy. There's a lot of interest here. So that's the thing. It's exciting is that, you know, these companies that we're featuring are not just some, you know, random companies that, you know, were picked out of the sky or that just, you know, paid to be featured at your event. These are literally some of the top emerging startups in the entire medtech industry. And people are very, very interested in seeing them. And you don't even have to be an investor. You know, you might be someone from one of the strategics, or you might be a service provider, and otherwise, whatever your role in the ecosystem is, these are the companies you're going to want to know, because I can promise you these will be the products that we'll all be using. And they probably just will have a new name after they get, you know, acquired by somebody larger and get rolled up into something bigger. But there's no question, these companies, the 28 we're featuring, are going to be products that we all will be, you know, looking at and working with on the market. So it's a great time to get to know them.
Absolutely. So let's unbox the agenda. You and I will kick things off in the morning on May 1st. And then we'll be followed by Matt Griffiths from HSBC, who's HSBC came in as a sponsor of Device Talks Boston for our innovation track, because they wanted to work with you on the MedTech Innovator All-Stars. So Matt Griffiths from HSBC will kick off. And then I'll use the big room. You'll let me use the big room for our opening keynote with Beth McCombs. And then we'll hand it off to you. So, and we'll have our presentations or our panel discussions by our folks at Greenberg Traurig and Goodwin. And then on day two, we'll have presentations by Cambridge Design Partnership. And then in the afternoon, we'll also have a discussion led by Holly Scott of the Mullings Group, really focused on succession planning, transitioning out of from a founder to a CEO. And you're going to be on that panel as well. So I highlighted all the non-pitch stuff. Talk to us a bit about the companies that will be presenting. You've talked a little bit before, but what was the process to attract these people? I know you had a lot to draw from, and I think it was you had some tough decisions to make to pick the right companies.
Yeah, always. I mean, MedTech Innovator is nothing but hard decisions. as you know too well, you know, we have this embarrassment of riches in the fact that, you know, in a particular year like this year, 2024, we had across our three different programs, we had 2,200 applicants. 2,200 companies apply to be in MedTech Innovator. And somehow we have to go from 2,200 down to about 100 that make it in. So it's about 5% that get accepted to our programs. And that's the way it is every year, just incredibly rich and detailed selection process involving like 500 people who select these companies. So to make it into MedTech Innovator is, you know, as tough as getting into one of those really difficult schools in terms of being accepted. and then once you get in, you get a ton of mentorship and guidance, and these companies become so much better. They really become investable. And that's the word I've been using lately. These are investable companies. They're not just good ideas. They're not just unmet medical needs. These are investable companies. And as a result, when we look at any particular year, like looking back at 2023, literally 28% of all of the capital raised in the entire medtech industry went to graduates of MedTech Innovator, which for some people is always difficult to process. It's difficult for me to process that large percentage of the emerging medtech space are graduates of MedTech Innovator.
What's the percentage again?
28%.
Wow, okay.
Of all the financing went to graduates of MedTech Innovator. And so when you think about, you know, people struggle to raise capital. I mean, that's just a fact in this industry. I say all the time, it's way too hard to help people live long, healthy lives. Like, it should be much easier. People should just be throwing money. It should be raining down on these companies.
Amen.
But they're not. They're raining down on the next AI or TikTok. Well, maybe not TikTok anymore after the vote. But anyways, the point is, it should be easier. And we're trying to make it easier. But overall, the companies that are the outliers, the ones that do survive, that do raise capital, tend to be graduates of MedTech Innovator. And so the forum that we have at Device Talks Boston on May 1st and May 2nd features graduates of MedTech Innovator. So these are not new companies that are going into this year's program. These are graduates from prior years. And that means we have kind of a menagerie, if you will, of startups of a varying stage. So we have companies everywhere from preclinical to being on the market and at their growth stage. We have companies that are raising a seed round, a series A round, a B round, and a C round in terms of the stage of round, and anywhere from $1.5 million to $55 million in those rounds. So a real diverse set of companies in terms of stage, the amount of capital they're raising. You know, I think the average raise right now is $14 million that these companies are seeking. And one particular feature that I'm most excited about is that most of these companies, the majority of the companies we'll be featuring in Boston, already have lead investors or significant committed capital in the round.
Wow. So if you're an investor, you're just, a lot of the hard work's been done.
A lot of the hard work has been done. You just show up and see a great company and write a check. That's what we're doing here. No joke. I mean, when I talk to our companies, it's no surprise perhaps to you, but maybe for some of the listeners out there that 95% of investors, after you meet with them, will say something like this: wow, really exciting. We're definitely interested. Come back to me when you have a lead investor. Mm-hmm. Meaning that, you know, you're not saying no, you're not saying yes. You don't want to miss out on the deal. You don't want to be responsible for making the hard decisions about whether or not to write the check or to lead this round. You know, you don't want to be the key person responsible for this company in the future. You just want to participate if somebody else who's done the hard work is taking the lead. So we've done it. We've done that for you. We vetted them through MedTech Innovator. And then other investors have now stepped up and taken those lead positions or committed large chunks of capital. Like one of our companies is there, InBrain, is raising a $55 million round, and they only have $7.5 million left. This is not a solicitation for an investment, by the way. I don't want to violate any SEC regulations. I'm just stating a fact that, you know, these are companies that, you know, if you're an accredited investor, you'd be interested in, these are good opportunities. These are great opportunities amongst the field of thousands, as I said, thousands of companies that apply to MedTech Innovator. We're giving you 28 companies who are highly vetted, who've got investors committed in most cases, and are just terrific companies that that you should all be interested in meeting.
Yeah, if folks, well, Carolina Aguilar will be not only presenting in the afternoon on behalf of InBrain, she's the CEO, but she'll be on a panel in the morning in Neuro. So if anyone's curiosity is piqued by InBrain's opportunity, you'll have two opportunities to hear her speak publicly before you can talk with her privately, of course. You folks, this for the first time on our website, you've put together a really great page, but a sortable page that can really give people all the information they need about the presenting companies. And I think if any investors are listening and their curiosity is piqued, if you reach out to either Paul or me on LinkedIn, you've got a lookbook too that we can send out to folks directly if they want to get a sense of who's presenting and get their little more on their stories. So we've got all the resources there for investors who want to come out. And if you're interested in attending, also, just reach out to Paul and me on LinkedIn, and we'll make sure that that you're in the room to hear these great stories. We've got a lot of investors already, but the more money, the better, I think. Right, Paul?
Absolutely. Yep. And, you know, in addition to investors, as I always say, you know, these are companies you might want to work for. Like, you might want to quit your job and go work for. These are the leading emerging startups that will eventually be the products that we see with big name labels on them. We've got technologies in the cardio space, the neuro space, the ortho space, lung, derm, maternal care, imaging, robotics. Like, there's something probably for everyone in terms of, you know, expertise you may have. If you're at another company, you're saying, boy, I've always wanted to join a startup. You're going to want to come in and listen to these companies. in the presentations, and then just go meet with them
yep.
Afterwards. Because it's just, these are the companies. People ask me all the time. I get messages constantly, as you probably do on LinkedIn, from people saying, hey, I'm looking for a change in my career. Mm-hmm. Do you know any good companies that, you know, are looking for management in various ways? It doesn't have to be the CEO. It could be, you know, a commercial officer, a product development, whatever it is. And these are the companies. Like, if you want to go find companies that are the fast train to hopefully success on the market and exits. These are the ones. We're made it easy for you. Yep. This is not, as I said, this is not your typical pitch thing where it's like a bunch of companies from the local university and most of them won't go anywhere. These companies are all going somewhere.
Yep. They're already there, as a matter of fact. I mean,
they're already there. You're right. They're already there.
Yeah.
And I'm not overstating that. These companies are already there.
Yep.
These are the ones that that you know you will be reading about. You're already reading about, as you said, they're on your panels for a reason. In some cases, yep. because they're incredible companies. I can't say it enough. These sessions are designed to be bite sized. They're like hour long sessions where we'll have about 21 companies in total presenting over these three sessions. So seven or eight companies per session in an hour. You get to meet seven companies and then you can go network and meet with them in between. And then another session. So we have two of them on the first day on May 1st. So they're just 1 hour. I mean, we made it really, again, made it easy for you. You don't have to sit around for 6 hours and watch pitches. Mm-hmm. You go for an hour, watch seven or eight pitches, meet with some companies, go to the rest of the, you know, stay in the room for the rest of the content. As you said, it's the big room with the keynotes and everything else. And then you get another session in the afternoon on the first. And then on the second, we have another one of those. We've got our investor panel. And we also have a great panel on CEO transition. So lots of great content and something, as I said, for everybody not to be missed. So if you're not registered for Device Talks, definitely message me, Paul Grand, on LinkedIn, message Tom Salemi on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. We will get you in. You're not going to want to miss this.
In fact, Paul, as you were talking, I looked at the agenda. I think we have at least five or six MedTech Innovator alum on panels as accomplished executives speaking as experts in their field. So you are helping to fund the next generation of MedTech leaders, which is exciting. In fact, I was curious, have you had a repeat? You've been doing this for 10 years or so. Have you had someone who's gone through with one company and have come through with a second? Have you seen that yet?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. We had a company you've featured on Device Talks several times, Moon Surgical.
Oh, okay.
Is led by Anne Ostois,
yep.
who is a second. She was in MedTech Innovator and she with Moon Surgical. And then previously, she was in MedTech Innovator for Safeheal.
Okay.
Another both companies out of MD Start, which is a Sofinnova entity in Paris. And so we've had her as a two-time MedTech Innovator serial company. We also have had Derek Herrera, mm-hmm. Who has Bright Euro currently right now. Derek is an accomplished leader in our space and a two-time MedTech Innovator entrepreneur. We had Alex Schuler, who's currently leading Selvi, who also had another company previously that was acquired that was a MedTech Innovator graduate. So we've had at least three, and I think this year we probably have at least two or three that are prior. I'm not going to say who they are yet. Mm-hmm. If they don't make it, I don't want to embarrass them. But companies that were, again, MedTech Innovator graduates, and then the CEO went on to start another company, and they came back to MTI.
Very cool.
So we're seeing it more and more often.
All right. So to sum up, if you're an investor listening to this and you're intrigued, reach out to Paul and myself. We'll send you or me, and we could send you the relevant information and there's a little something else we'll share with you. And if you are interested in working for startups, Paul, that's a great point. You should definitely come on out. You can use the code DTWeekly25 to save 25%. So it gets the price of the registration down to about $500 or so. So that's not a bad investment in your next career. If you're one of our sponsors, you're certainly going to want to watch these and connect with these future customers of yours. If you need product design, if you're offering product design help or manufacturing. So lots of opportunities. And unfortunately, we don't do remote. So if you think you can log on and share in this experience, we don't offer that at Device Talks. We're not able to do that at the moment. I don't know if we ever want to, because I really like seeing people. And I spend my entire rest of my year in virtual digital world. I like really to see people in the flesh. So hope folks will heed this, I don't want to say warning, heed this message and join us at Device Talks in Boston, May 1st and 2nd, next Wednesday and Thursday. My God, it's here, Paul.
It's here. It's here. It's exciting. It's 1 week away. If it's today you're listening to this, and if it's tomorrow or the next day, it's a little less. But believe me, it's worth going. If you haven't registered yet and you're going, maybe I missed it, it's too late. It's not too late. Reach out to us. Register for the conference. Reach out to us if you're an investor, so we can take care of you. And one of the things for investors that I'll mention is a difficult thing for investors, in addition to finding good companies, is also finding other investors to co-invest with. Investors, unfortunately, spend a lot of their time trying to fill out rounds for companies that they're excited about. So they're reaching out to other investors. This is a great networking opportunity to meet with around 50 investors who will be there, who are actively investing in the medtech space. So if you're an investor, that's another great reason to come to this event. Because you're going to get a chance to network with other investors. So looking forward to seeing you in a week, Tom.
I know.
Or a little less than a week. It's going to be a tremendous event.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, Paul Grand and MedTech Innovator, for putting together a great show. And can't wait to see you in Boston.
Can't wait. See you soon.
All right, it was great to hear from Paul Grand. Now we're going to review some of the rest of the agenda. It'd be foolish to say these three interviews encompass the entire agenda, but we'll be talking about surgical robotics a lot, and two of these interviews will be surgical robotics focused. This first one is a conversation I had with Patino Hume. He is the CEO and co-founder of Quantum Surgical, which is developing Epion, which is a surgical robotics system that is used to remove growths in the lung or treat the lung. So it's a unique focus for surgical robotics. Bertine will get into his background, but he's done this before and we'll learn about that success. But as I mentioned up top, in addition to Quantum, we'll have presentations by Stryker, a keynote interview by me with the executives from CRM. We'll have presentations by Brian Miller of Intuitive, who's going to go over the power of Da Vinci 5. We'll have Greg Roach, who was on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, from Distal Motion. And we will close it all out, and you'll hear from him a little bit later in this podcast, but Rishi Kamel will give the closing keynote. So I know it's a lot of surgical robotics. As I wrote in my email this week, it wasn't really intended to be such a focus of the conference, but it was impossible really not to bring this much into into the conference because of all that's gone on with surgical robotics. I really do think 2024 is going to be one of those pivotal years with the approval of Da Vinci 5, with the advances of Hugo, with Mirror, Space Mirror being sent to space. And I mentioned that Virtual Incision's Mirror robot will be at Device Talks Boston in the Maxim booth on the floor. So come check that out. It's a really cool design. I'll definitely be posing with a selfie, I hope. If I have a moment to get down there to visit Mirror, I'd love to take a picture of it and share that on social. So you should do the same. You should come to Device Talks Boston, get that selfie, get that social media campaign going. So, all right, let's play this interview that I did with Bertina Hume. Again, I did this at the interview at the 160 Studios, which is Joe Mullings, the Mullings Group Studios in Florida. So I'm just going to play it all. We also have video versions of this online and on our YouTube channel. So if you want to watch it, go to our YouTube channel, Device Talks. It's our YouTube channel. Subscribe, and you can watch me talk to Bertina. So, all right, we'll get this interview going.
Everyone, Tom Salemi of Device Talks back here again to talk about Device Talks Boss. And as I've mentioned in the past, we have a great focus on surgical robotics. And I mentioned in a conversation with Joe Mullings that we seem to be at a point where the whole sector is changing. New models, new technologies, new approaches are coming in. So I'm very happy to have as one of the presenters at Device Talks Boston, Brittany Hume, who's the CEO of Quantum Surgical. He's going to be talking about their very unique surgical robotic system. Bertin, thanks for joining us on the show.
Hi, Tom.
So why don't we just take a moment just to introduce folks to Quantum Surgical. I know in that perhaps you could give a little bit of your background because you've done this before. You're going around for your second go around in surgical robotics.
Yes, indeed. My name is Bertin Nehum. And yes, indeed, I'm an engineer by background and I've been in the field of medical surgical robotics for over 20 years now. And as you mentioned before, I had a previous company called Medtech Surgical. We designed and sold the robot called Rosa. The company was acquired by Zimmer Biomet in 2016. And as far as I know, at the date of today, Zimmer Biomet is declaring an installed base of over 1,000 Rosa worldwide.
Okay.
So I think it's pretty well. So now I'm here to talk about a new story. A new venture that I created with some of my co-founder in 2018, almost 6 years ago, yeah. So we are now trying to pioneer robotics on a totally new field, namely oncology.
Mm-hmm.
Epion, which is the name of our robot. Epion, by the way, was named after the name of a goddess, which is the goddess of soothing. She's the wife of Asclepius. And so Epion is used for minimally invasive treatment of patients suffering from abdominal tumors. So basically Epion is used to help physicians delivering to the patient this minimally invasive treatment called percutaneous ablation.
Mm. So what is the problem with the limitations of the current standard of treatment?
Yeah. So first of all, one thing which is very important to explain is, you know, that's always been the concept of my different companies. And I think that's the concept of most surgical robotics companies. We are not here to basically create a new treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Our objective is through robotic assistance, democratize a treatment, usually a minimally invasive treatment, which benefits are indisputable, but because it is so difficult to be carried out, only a limited number of physicians can perform this minimally invasive treatment. Therefore, only a limited number of patients can benefit from this treatment. So that's exactly what we are doing in oncology with Epion. So basically, just a few words to explain what is percutaneous ablation. That's an alternative to surgery. Let's say, for example, a patient which is diagnosed with a tumor in the liver, the standard treatment will be surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Consisting in basically opening, you know, the belly and removing one part of the liver where the tumor is located. This treatment is quite efficient, but as one can imagine, it's very heavy. For the patient, it takes a long time to recover, and also it's not always possible depending on where the tumor is located, and especially when there are multiple lesions. The alternative was created over 20 years ago, which is minimally invasive percutaneous ablation that consists in inserting a needle through the skin. This needle is going to be to target the lesion. The needle is linked to some kind of generator, cryo, or whatever, which is going to burn locally the tumor. So This is a very efficient treatment. Which is the recommended treatment by the guidelines for early stage cancer. However, one can easily imagine that targeting a few millimeter diameter lesions with a needle on a patient that is breathing with an organ that is also moving is something which is very difficult. As a result of that, only a limited number of physicians are capable of performing safely this treatment. Therefore, only a limited number of patients can benefit from that. So our objective, our mission, is to democratize through robotics, help more physicians, therefore more patients benefiting from this treatment.
And how is Epion able to do that? What abilities do you give it? Do you give the surgeon that they don't otherwise have themselves?
So we are in something which is quite common in robotics, which is so-called image-guided treatment. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's always the same paradigm. You're going to download the images of the patient. In this case, this is a CT images. On a console, you can recreate in 3D, you know, the patient anatomy. You're going to plan virtually the ideal position of the needle. You can basically define virtually quite a few parameters. I'm not going to go too much in details. And once this is done, this information is going to be sent to the robot, and the robot is going to position automatically a guide through which the physician is going to insert the needle with, knowing that the needle will be exactly on position. So that's roughly speaking what the robot is doing, which is very similar to what you can see for many image guided robotic devices, mm-hmm. like Rosa, obviously, but also, you know, Mako or other.
And final question, where are you in your commercial rollout? I know you're here in the US now. Give us a sense of what Quantum is looking forward to over the next year or two.
So we are at a commercial stage, meaning that we have already sold this device. At the date of today, over 400 patients have been successfully treated thanks to Epion in Europe and in the US. We have done our first installations in the US. The first hospital to acquire the system in the U.S. is Baptist Hospital in Miami. Mm-hmm. And I am here in Miami in the U.S. to basically, conduct, the deployment, the commercial deployment of our technology in the U.S. in a very similar fashion as what I did maybe 10 years ago with my previous company when it was to basically deploy, the commercial, deployment of Rosa in the US. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Exciting times. Well, I appreciate your taking a day out of your busy schedule. I'm sure to be part of Device Talks Boston. Again, people can come and hear the Epion and Quantum Surgical story there. And Bertin, thank you for joining us today on the show. Appreciate, very grateful for the insights and the time.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, we'll take a break from surgical robotics to focus on the neurospace. Next is Kurt Hagstrom. He's the chief commercial officer at Synchron. And this is an area I'm particularly excited about, neuro. It's always been a space that I love. I remember talking about neuropace back in the late 90s and being fascinated by the use of energy to basically replicate what drugs can do. So, but we are a long way from when I started covering this industry in 1998. And we're at a point where there seems to be a real, like with surgical robotics, a real platform upon which we can leap forward. And we'll talk about that on May 1st. I'll lead a panel discussion with Kurt Hagstrom of Synchron, who you'll hear from shortly. We'll have Carolina Aguilar, who we mentioned earlier as a medtech innovator. She'll be pitching her company at MedTech Innovator, but she'll also be talking about InBrain and its BCI application, brain computer interface application, which is something Synchron's working on as well. We'll have Imran Ibo there, who is a very experienced investor from Action Potential Venture Capital. And Imran really kind of, I think, brought some cautiousness. He added the cautious to the cautious optimism turn. So it'll be a really balanced discussion in that way. And finally, we'll have Shriya Srinivasan of Harvard. She was on the podcast a month or two ago, talking about all that they're doing in the neurospace. And in addition to ingestible pills, they've got some work that they're doing with musculature. And it's going to be a real look into the future of neuro. So enjoy this conversation with Kurt Hagstrom of Synchron. But if you want the full experience, of course, join us at Device Talks Boston on May 1st for this conversation on Neuro. You can go to boston.devicetalks.com to register. All right, we'll get this interview going with Kurt Hagstrom.
Hey everybody, this is Tom Salemi of Device Talks. We're taking a look at the agenda for Device Talks Boston, which is happening on May 1st and May 2nd at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. Really excited to focus a part of the agenda on the neurospace. We're going to have a really fascinating panel I'm excited to see called What New Materials and Interfaces Will Advance Neurotechnologies. Very happy to have one of the panelists here. It's Kurt Hagstrom. He is Chief Commercial Officer at Synchron. Kurt, thanks for joining us in this discussion.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Tom.
And thanks for being part of Device Talks Boston. I know it's a bit of a homecoming for you, so
glad
to have you back in the Bay State. So we like to build our agenda around problems and solutions. We like to find those solutions. So let's first identify the problem that led to Synchron's founding of its technology, the brain-computer interface. What problem are you trying to solve with existing neurosystems?
Yeah, the really innovation that stemmed in the ideation of Synchron's technology, which is a brain-computer interface, started back with Dr. Tom Oxley, one of our founders and now CEO of the company. And this was in regards to, he's a stroke interventionalist, and mm-hmm. he saw a need with folks that would have a brainstem stroke and that would render them paralyzed, and they didn't have the ability to, in this instance, is a lot of times speak or move. And although the person's still there, they still cognitively, have their thoughts and abilities and emotions, but they had no physical ability. And so, the thought was, and brain-computer interfaces have been out there, but the thought was, hey, can we develop a technology that allows these people to have independence or autonomy back in their life and to utilize technology as we able-bodied people do? So that's really where the need started, was trying to restore that element of independence through motor function.
That's fascinating. I didn't know that was the origin. I love it when simple questions can kind of be so provide revealing answers. So mm-hmm. what is the solution that Synchron is developing?
Yeah, it's a neurotechnology called a brain-computer interface. And this is a technology that we deliver through an endovascular approach. And so this means, endovascular means that you take the vasculature, so you take the blood vessels to the location. So in our instance, we take a device and we put it through the blood vessels up into the brain, and that the device is called the Stentrode. And this device looks like a stent and then has also a lead attached to it. And this device records the signals of the brain. Those signals then get translated into digital motor outputs. So these motor, instead of a functional motor output, like we think moving your arms and legs, your fingers to use your smartphone, these are now digitized to allow that same functionality in the digital world using those same motor intent signals.
And where are you in your development? Now, tell us a little bit about Synchron. You folks have had some great progress. Now you had released some peer-reviewed data at the end of last year in regarding the performance of your system. Talk a bit about the state of Synchron and where you're at in development.
Yeah, so Synchron's been around for about 10 years. We have now conducted our first in human trial that was in Australia called the Switch Trial. And those results were published in JAMA Neurology this past year. So very excited about that. And that really kind of put the stamp on the safety profile of our approach. We next conducted a early feasibility trial here in the United States. We have now finished enrollment with that. That was another 6 patients here in the United States. And that trial right now, called the Command Trial, is ongoing. So we're doing our follow-up in that study, both from a safety follow-up. It's really a safety study, but doing the safety follow-up as well as working with the patients on different activities that they do throughout the day that can add value from an independent standpoint. So that's where we're at right now. We're in that trial, mid-trial, but we're also prepping and preparing for that next clinical step to test the next gen system.
And that leads into the final question as to where are you headed? What's the next couple of years hold for you? You're chief commercial officer, so it suggests that there's some there, and you folks are moving forward. What are you looking forward to hopefully executing in the next couple of years?
Yeah, so it's a great question because I get that a lot, being a commercial person, right? You know, having that title as a commercial person. But maybe what folks don't realize is that you know, in the med device industry, a lot of the commercial folks actually have a technical background, and so I do as well. So I'm an engineer by trade, and so I actually help bringing the voice of you know, our future users of the system to the development side. So you're really on the marketing, kind of that upstream marketing side of things, making sure that you're developing a commercially viable product, right? And so you have to have that voice early on in the process. The second part of that is reimbursement. This will be the first to market with this type of technology, and so making sure that we're thinking about reimbursement and how payers are going to look at this real early on in the clinical trials in the clinical protocols of this technology is really critical. So even though we're not selling yet, the thought of the right product and how the product gets paid for is something that you really have to think about upstream here.
And is that something that we can look forward to? It's always difficult to predict the future in medtech with regulatory bodies and clinical trials. But what's a time frame you have in mind for when we might see these see your devices helping patients?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think as we speak, the product's in patients and mm-hmm. helping them do their activities. And so I think although it's, we're still in a clinical trial, these products will be in people. And our goal is to obviously contribute towards driving independence in these different activities that they do with the product. When you look at a commercialization, when we really be on the market and we can really scale to commercialization, we're still a few years out. From that. But again, our next clinical trials will be very telling on efficacy and safety of the product and really starting to define the field itself.
Excellent. Well, we're excited to see that news when it comes out, but more recently, we're going to see you at Device Talks Boston. Happy to have you there. Excited to hear Synchron's story. And thanks for being part of Device Talks Boston and for joining us here today.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Tom. And look forward to coming up there to Boston.
All right, our final interview is with Rajit Kamal. He is Vice President and General Manager of Robotic Surgical Technologies at Medtronic. And Rajit will be giving our closing keynote. So he'll be talking in a larger room than I've got for Device Talks. He'll be talking upstairs at a Robotics Summit and Expo to attendees from both meetings, both the Robotics Summit and Expo and Device Talks Boston. He'll be giving a presentation on how Hugo can operate remotely. We'll actually have a call. We're planning to have a call with London, and we'll be able to see that interaction. So that should be really fascinating. Looking forward to seeing that. So I've talked about surgical robotics already, but really grateful for Rajit, who I've come to know really primarily through Device Talks Boston a lot. And I'm grateful for him coming out and making this presentation. I'm grateful to Medtronic. They did make time and space available at their new offices for some folks to visit on Tuesday. Unfortunately, that opportunity is closed. No one else can get a ticket to that, but it's a great way to start off Device Talks Boston. So let's hear from Rajit Kamal of Medtronic. And once again, if you want to join us at Device Talks Boston, register at boston.devicetalks.com, use the code DTWeekly25, and you'll save 25% off the price of admission. And let me just say, if you're going to wait until the day to register, it's fine if you want to do that. But it's much easier to do it in advance. You'll wait in a shorter line. And if you use that code, you'll save some money. But that's just me talking. All right, let's play this interview I did with Rajit Kamal. Once again, this was at the 160 Studios at the Mullings Group.
Hi, this is Tom Salemi from Device Talks. We're going to be covering the surgical robotics space in a great deal at Device Talks Boston on May 1st and 2nd. We're going to be talking about a lot of high-level issues, but we're going to be able to focus on some of the leaders in the space as well. And we're going to be doing that today. I'm very happy to be joined by Rajit Kamal, who's Vice President and General Manager of Robotic Surgical Technologies at Medtronic. Rajit, thanks for joining us on this discussion.
It's a pleasure to be with you today, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Oh, great to have Medtronic have such a role at Device Talks Boston. You folks, I know, are neighbors of the conference. You're a few blocks away. So looking forward to having your folks there and also having you giving our closing keynote, where you'll be giving a demonstration of the remote connectivity of the Hugo system. So lots to see at Device Talks Boston. And thanks again, Medtronic, for being such a big part of it.
Absolutely. And you should come and visit our office, Tom. We are, you know, stone's throw distance from the convention center.
I am counting on that. That is going to be an exciting part of my 3 days there. So let's go step back. And we like to build a conference around the notion of finding solutions for some of healthcare's biggest problems. What's the problem that you've identified, that Medtronic has identified in the healthcare system, that surgical robotics and Hugo in particular is, let's talk about the problem first, that you're trying to solve. What can Hugo improve upon?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, think about robotics in general, Tom, right? Mm-hmm. So if you think about the penetration of robotics, it's about 5%. So 95% of the procedures today that could use a robotic solution are not using that. 60% of those are open procedures. Mm-hmm. Have a significant opportunity. The question we have to ask is, so what's the benefit of robotics over, say, laparoscopy, right? And there are a few things I will highlight. So if you look at a traditional laparoscopy, it is done using a 2D image. So surgeon uses a 2D image. We don't have the depth perception. They use a straight instrument. Ergonomically, it is not the best for the surgeon. You know, with robotics, you get a magnified 3D vision. You have a much better vision of the surgical field. Mm-hmm. You have wristed instruments, you know, that basically works, you know, based on what you do with your normal arm. So that makes maneuvering around tissue structures easier. With robotics, you can also bring AI-driven features. You can add AI-driven features, whether it is anatomic structure identification, bringing intraoperative insights. So I think robotics, I always give an analogy of a car, right? 15 years back, I drove a car that didn't have GPS, no sensors, nothing. Today, I'm the same driver, mm-hmm. but now I have a car that tells me if I'm changing a lane, it flashes and says, oh, there's a car in your blind spot, right? So it makes me, I think my outcomes ultimately would be better in terms of driving. I take the same analogy, and I think robotics will have better experience for the surgeons. And I truly believe with all the features of better visualization, wristed instruments, AI-driven features will lead to better outcome for patients as well. And that's how we are, you know, that's why we are interested. We are a leader in surgery. This is where surgery is headed, and that's why we are interested in this space.
That's great. Your car analogy hits home. I rented a car, and I'm driving a newer car, and I was able to do so many things with my hand still on the wheel because of the current systems, a lot better than the older car I'm driving, so I can totally connect. So let's talk a bit about Hugo in particular. What functionality are you offering that's going to advance these procedures and to provide, as you said, all of that assistance that surgeons and physicians currently don't have?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me just give you a quick background on Hugo, right? So please. Hugo is a multi-port soft tissue robot. We have an open surgeon console, 4 modular arms, internally developed at Medtronic, legacy Covidien. We did the first procedure with Hugo in June of 2021. It was a prostatectomy case that we did in Chile. Since then, Tom, we have come a long way. We are now in 5 continents. We are in over 20 countries around the world. Mm-hmm. And we have indications, broader indications, in markets like Europe, Australia, Japan, India, South America. We have indications for urology, gynecology, general surgery. We have now done thousands of procedures. You know, we are doing prostatectomies, hysterectomies, nephrectomies, cystectomy, bariatric surgery, hernia repair. You know, US is the market we are still working on getting access to. We have now over 50 publications, Tom. And the feedback has been very encouraging. And I will share some of the feedback that we are hearing from the field. You know, first is surgeons are saying in terms of procedural time and outcomes, Hugo is very similar to the system we have in the market, the mm-hmm. systems we have. So whatever is the soft tissue robotic benchmark, we are performing at par in terms of procedural time and outcomes. But there are 3 areas where they think we are differentiating. So one is the open surgeon console. And surgeons highlight multiple benefits of that. One is the ergonomic benefit. You know, if you are in an open surgeon console, you're sitting upright, right? Instead of bending to look into an immersive console. Mm-hmm. And that has ergonomic benefit for surgeons, especially those who do longer procedures. If you're doing a 4 or 5 hour procedure, having an open surgeon console with a better ergonomic posture makes a big difference. In fact, one of the surgeons who does cystectomies, these are 5-6 hour cases, told me he chooses Hugo for himself, not for the patient, but for himself, mm-hmm. because it is a better better experience for him. Open Surgeon Console also enables better collaboration because you can see the OR team. And I think, you know, many laparoscopic surgeons tell me that's how they are used to operating, you know, engaging, looking at their OR stuff. So I think Open Surgeon Console drives better collaboration. The third thing is it is better for training. You can now have residents observe what you're doing, you know, both your hand movements and what you're doing in the surgical field simultaneously. They talk about the benefits of the modular arms. I think, you know, modularity enables Hugo to go into ORs of different shapes and sizes because it is a modular system. You can bring in fewer arms if you're doing a simpler procedure. So you can optimize the footprint in the OR. A lot of surgeons say who are laparoscopic surgeons, and if you think about 95% of the surgeons or surgeries that are not being done robotically, these are robotically, we call them robotically novice or naive surgeons. For them, the transition from laparoscopy to robotics is easier with a modular arm because it provides you flexibility in terms of port placement, in terms of docking. The third area where we are hearing is our DS1 system, which is through our Touch Surgery Enterprise. So every time you finish a Hugo procedure, and if you have a DS1 system, you can access the video within a minute of completing the surgery.
Wow.
It automatically segments the video. Surgeons are using that for presentation, for training. And we are actually going to use some of that video. You know, through our Touch Surgery Enterprise, we have the largest surgical video of any company. And we are going to use that as a training data to bring AI-driven features onto Hugo. So these are some of the feedback that we are getting, Tom. But, you know, as I said, user experience, ergonomic, dock placement, flexibility, all these are the benefits that Hugo has brought to the table.
Help me understand a bit more about the open surgery concept. How does that differ from what is currently available? You're standing upright, I imagine. Are you in some kind of booth? Or what position is a surgeon in? Because I agree, I imagine one of the bigger barriers is just making sure the surgeons are comfortable and can intuitively take over, perform the procedure as opposed to learning a whole new platform and getting into positions that maybe they don't want to be in.
So today there are two forms of console. So one is an immersive console where a surgeon is looking into a hole or a chamber. So you are immersed, so you can't see anything outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have an open surgeon console. So that means you are sitting, you wear a 3D glasses, okay, right? But you're not immersed in a hole, right? You are actually open. So you can look around, you can see your OR. So those are the two different form factors that we have. The market leader has an immersive surgeon console. You know, some of the newer systems, you know, obviously we have an open surgeon console. So those are the two form factors you have in terms of surgeon console that are used in soft tissue robotics.
That makes perfect sense. Final question, what are some of the things we can look forward to news coming from Hugo? What's next?
Look, there are multiple things that we are working on. I will highlight few things for you, Tom, right? So first thing is, you know, we are working very actively to bring our advanced instruments onto Hugo. So as you know, Medtronic is known for its stapling. It's known for LigaSure, which is our energy device. And these are clinically proven systems that are instruments that surgeons trust in laparoscopic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
We are working very actively to bring them onto Hugo. So that's one we are looking at. The second area of focus is to get into the US market. You know, we announced that we started our IDE in December of 2022. Urology is the first indication. We publicly announced that hernia, we just got approval for IDE for hernia. So we are actively working on completing those and bringing the Hugo system onto the US market. The third, as I mentioned, is to bring AI-driven features. We are working with our Touch Surgery Enterprise and trying to leverage the data we have there to bring AI-driven features, whether it is anatomic structure identification, bringing intraoperative insights to complement the Hugo platform. And the fourth thing I would say is we continue to make sure we have a differentiated training offering. We have partnered with institutions around the world, and that's another area we continue to make improvements to make sure that our training program is robust and differentiated. So those are the four broad areas I would say that as a Hugo team we are focused on.
Fantastic. Well, we look forward to hearing much more at Device Talks Boston once again. Thanks for being a big part of the program. And Rajeev Kamel, thanks for joining us today to talk about Hugo.
Thank you so much, Tom, and looking forward to seeing you at Device Talks. Thank you so much.
All right, well, that is a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Device Talks Weekly Podcast. I can't say it in any other way. I sincerely hope that you'll join us at Device Talks Boston. As I said in my conversation with Paul, there is no virtual element, so you can't watch this online. You got to be there. So use the code DTWeekly25. It costs you a little over $500. I promise you it'll be worth it. Just the networking alone will be worth it. We've already got more people here than we did last year. We've got several more days for registrations, and we always get a strong showing day of. Once again, you can avoid the strong showing or avoid waiting in line to register, and register now and use the code DTWeekly25. Save money and save yourself a wait in line. But I'm so excited. I'm tired, but I'm so excited, and I can't wait to see everyone at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. I don't know what else to say. We'll be recording next week's episode of Device Talks Weekly once again on stage at the end of Device Talks Boston. So if you join us at Device Talks Boston, and I hope you do, join us for that recording. It'd be great to have you there. We try to bring some folks in from the audience, some thoughts in as well. But we'll be doing a wrap-up of the conference and sort of a look forward. And it's always a good conversation and a nice way to end. And it will be, again, next week's episode. Final point of order for me, I'll be off the week after Device Talks Boston. I'm not actually collapsing into a pool of exhaustion, but I'll be driving out to Purdue University to bring my son home. So I'm looking forward to that. I'll be taking my other son with me. So we're having a nice little road trip. So I'll be off that following week. I don't think we'll have a podcast that week. And I'll make a mention of this next week when we put out the Device Talks Boston conference, but just wanted to put that out there. We will be putting out a Abbott Talks podcast next week. So you'll have one of those as well. Great conversation I had about diabetes. And all right, that's it. Again, Boston, Device Talks Boston is taking place May 1st and May 2nd at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. It's going to be an insanely great time. And I do hope you'll join us and use the code DTWeekly25 to save 25%. And if you do make it out, anyone who does make it out, please, if you see me walking by, just say hello or stop me at the or let's talk at the opening reception or any of the receptions that are going on site and off site. There's been a real surge of satellite events that are happening, and that's exciting for me because, again, yes, I am a guy from Boston, and it's been a real thrill to build what I think is one of the better medtech events on the East Coast, and excited to have everyone be part of it. So join us there May 1st and May 2nd, boston.devicetalks.com to register. That's it, folks. Thanks for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I look forward to seeing you in Boston in just a couple of days.